Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, obviously, the big news this week is that after we reported at a house show Jeff Hardy's rather unusual behavior, seeming a little lackadaisical and lethargic in the ring, and then just sliding out, jumping the barricade, and attempting to leave the building through the fans, security had to bring him back, we knew something was wrong. Jeff Hardy was sent home off the road, and now Jeff Hardy has officially been released from the WWE. Now, the WWE, according to what I understand, offered Jeff Hardy rehab. They offered him help. Jeff Hardy refused the rehab, and consequently, he was dismissed. Now, I'm shocked to find how many people, and that includes journalists, wrestling journalists, who have millions and millions and millions of listeners, saying it's terribly unfortunate. But, it, you know, there's no bad guy here. The WWE did make an offer, so they're not the bad guy. You know, so, you know, it's a shame. It's one of these things that just happened. But there's no bad guy. No, there's a bad guy. And his name is Jeff Hardy. I'm tired, I'm sick and tired of this nonsense. What the hell do you think would happen to you if you came to work, not once, not twice, three or four times, stoned out of your mind, no idea what you're doing, and all of the times your boss said, well, it's okay, we're not going to fire you, we're just going to send you to rehab, and you still have your job waiting when you come back, and you did it again. And then they did the same thing, and you did it again. And then they did the same thing, and you did it again. You're going to get that many chances, are you? No, you're not. So why in the hell are you crying these crocodile tears over Jeff Hardy, who's been given more chances than you'd ever get from your boss? Now, I'm not saying Jeff Hardy's a bad guy. Not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that he's not a nice guy and that he's not a great wrestler or that he doesn't give to his opponents and he doesn't help people backstage. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is this man had more chances than he deserved. And at some point, when you refuse help, you have no choice but to cut ties with him. And for you to say, as a responsible journalist, there's no bad guy. Yeah, no, there is. Yes, there is. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's just another example of how society feels today. Well, it's the drug's fault. No, it's not the drug's fault. Nobody forced him to take anything. He did that. When's personal responsibility going to mean something to people? I couldn't help what I did. Well, yeah, no, yes, you can. You can help what you do, especially if you went to rehab three times, and all three times it's been unsuccessful. And I think I mentioned on last show, people were saying, well, you feel that way about Jimmy Uso. He's driving drunk, and he got caught twice driving drunk. Well, number one, he got caught once driving drunk because the first time he was driving the car, he got over there was he got out of the car and got mouthy to a cop. And he was inebriated. The second time he was driving drunk. Both times had nothing to do with him being in the ring. So once again, I reiterate, if you come to work drunk or high, you're going to be fired. The police aren't going to be called. You're just going to be fired. on a Sunday, on your day off, if you get high as a kite and the police stop you and say you're driving under the influence of marijuana or whatever, your job's not going to fire you necessarily, because they're going to say, well, it had nothing to do with his job performance. He's not high on a job. It's not Vince McMahon's responsibility what Jimmy Uso does on his free time outside the ring, because Vince McMahon's not going to get sued for that. Jeff Hardy drops somebody on his freaking head and kills him or paralyzes him, and don't think it can't happen, because it sure happened to D'Lo Brown, and there was nobody high on any narcotics that night. Vince McMahon. Big difference. So I'm sorry to tell you, I have very little, I have the world's smallest violin for Jeff Hardy, because he's been given more chances than most human beings would be given at their place of employment. I'm sad it happened, because the WWE was starting to use him a little bit, and they were starting to maybe give him what they thought was going to be his one last final hurrah run. But folks, I understand that addiction's a bitch. I understand it's not that easy. But I also understand that there's plenty of people who have beaten it. And at some point in your life, you make that decision. You say to yourself, I'm going to go back to the way I was. I'm going to take that drink. I'm going to smoke that joint. I'm going to take this drug, whatever it happens to be. Probably 4 or 5 years ago, I said to myself, I'm just giving up soda completely. And I did. For 3 straight years, I never touched a drop of any kind of soda. None. Zero. And then I made a conscientious decision. I said, well, you know, because I was drinking too much of it. I said, I can drink one now and then and be fine. And I do. And I'm fine. I'm not drinking 3 liters a day. Jeff Hardy could have done the same thing with his problem. He had been given help. If he felt he was relapsing, if he felt he was going to go back to his old ways, he had people he could talk to in the dressing room. He had probably people at rehab centers who had given him his number and everything. He could have called them. He chose not to, folks. He chose not to. And at some point in your life, this is not a 19-year-old kid. This is a 40-some-odd-year-old man. It's time to grow up. It's time to put on your big boy pants, and it's time to realize that if drugs and alcohol is more important than your career, then you don't have one. You know, I'm surprised how many people are giving him this ultimate sympathy ploy. This is somebody who did it to himself.
That's right. And look, when your own brother says something about it, and he pretty much came out and basically said what you just said, you know, did Matt. And Matt was able to, we know what Matt was able to do a couple of times. He was able to resuscitate his career. He's in his 40s. What's his name? Jeff Hardy's in his 40s. The problem with Jeff Hardy is there's no way anybody else, including Impact, would ever sign this guy.
I get it, yeah. People are saying, oh, he'll just go to AEW. Well, what message does that send if that's the case then? What message does that send? Oh, you can be a three-time loser, not giving one damn about your promotion. By the way, let me explain something to you. If Jeff Hardy had been found inebriated on the side of the street on a day off, I would have said, well, that's very bad. But he didn't do it in the ring, at least. And if he stays clean in the ring and he can still perform, it would be a shame to let him go. That's not what happened. He went to the ring. That's absolute disrespect for every single person in that ring and every single person in that audience. End of conversation. My wants are more important than your personal safety or the fact that you paid money to see me and I can't perform. Let me give you a case in point. I won't mention any names because I don't want to be whatever, but there was a pretty popular band a few years back. and their lead singer was a bad alcoholic, I guess. And he did a string of concerts where it was so bad he forgot the lyrics, he fell down, he sat on the stage with his back against the drum riser and just mumbled lyrics into a microphone. Everybody demanded their money back. Everybody said, okay, well, this is ridiculous. This isn't a concert. We paid big money to see this guy, and he can't perform. And we want our money back. And those venues were forced to give the money back, people who asked, because they didn't get what they paid for. Well, if you go to see Jeff Hardy and he lays there like a lump because he's out of his mind, you're not getting what you paid for. That's just ultimate disrespect to fans. You want to get high as a kite 5 minutes after your match is done and in a hotel room somewhere? That's the way you want to live your life, do it. But have some respect for your coworkers and have some respect for the people who pay to see you, Todd, because when you go to that ring in that condition, you certainly do not.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I remember a couple years ago when we went to that show in Poughkeepsie, he didn't look that great. And the next night, the pay-per-view he had with Sting, he didn't look great either. And like you said, I didn't have no sympathy for him back then because what he did. And I don't have sympathy for him now. That's my opinion on that. And
I don't either.
Himself.
I don't either. And I'm going to tell you right now that there's not one wrestler, not one. They're all saying good things about him. Oh, he's a wonderful guy. Of course, he probably was. But there's not one wrestler who would want to be in a situation with him where they had to wrestle him and he's in that condition. Not one. Because what happens if you pick him up and you say, well, I'm going to do this move, and he screws it up, and he ends up hurting himself severely, and then it's like, well, you sort of did it. No, I didn't. He did it because he couldn't take the move right because he wasn't coherent. Or what happens if you get hurt, and you got a family to feed, and you got a wife and kids to support, huh? So before we all go out here and say, there's no real bad guy, yes, there is. Yes, there is. Just because he's talented, just because you like him, just because he's had a great career, it does not make up for it. There is a bad guy. Doesn't mean, again, that he's a bad guy outside the ring. It means it's his fault. Because he's the one that chose to do it. So I guess we can kiss Jeff Hardy's career goodbye. He's 40-something. He's refusing rehab. I don't know anybody that would sign him. Maybe some indies will sign him for one-offs. But as far as actually joining a federation, I don't see it. Now let's get on to a little AEW news. Andrade has posted a picture of himself with Charlotte Flair saying that he's been the victim of all kinds of fake news. Look, he could be right. I said from the very beginning, maybe there's reasons why they stopped following each other on Twitter. Maybe there's reasons why they closed their accounts. Maybe there's some reason for it other than this. But to be perfectly honest with you, I'm going to cry bullshit. I think maybe they did have a falling out, and then they just patched it up. And rather than to say we patched up our problems, we did have a problem, and we patched it up. It's much easier to say, you guys reported fake news. Well, you're the ones who baited us if you did, because, I mean, at some point in time, if you follow each other, and the news is circulating that they have followed each other, all you'd really have to do is post, well, we did that for other reasons. We're certainly still happy and together. You didn't do that. So what I'm thinking here is that there was a problem. The problem was resolved, and now it's much easier to say there never was one to begin with, Mike.
That sounds like it, you know, and that's the thing. And look, we've known, and look, a relationship between a man and a woman, you know, there are ups and downs in relationships, you know, and is that That's what I got to say about that. We probably just got caught up in a down period in their relationship. You know, I mean, there was a. We don't know if they were fighting. We don't know if they were having some sort of disagreement. We don't know. It just sounds like it was a down period in their relationship. That's all.
That's what it sounds like. But either way, if you bait the blog shows and the journalists, you're going to get that kind of reaction. So if it was all done to just try to keep your name out there, well, all right, maybe it was. But then don't blame us. We're just reporting what you did. I reported you unfollowed each other. You did unfollow each other. I reported that is not something usually that couples do. Unless there's a problem, that's true. If there's an alternate reason, I said, there could be. If there was, fine. But then to take to Twitter and say, oh, you all made it up. We didn't make up anything. You did unfollow each other. Now, Andrade, let me explain something about Andrade. As bad as Andrade's career was in the WWE, and it was pretty bad, and certainly the WWE didn't see much in him. That's obvious. I'm not so sure it's any better at AEW. How many times has that man wrestled since he signed? 6 times? 5 times? He's almost never on. Once in a while, you give him a big highlight match, which he loses. So, again, I'm not really 100% sure he's any better off. For all of this talk of you don't want to come here, now maybe he's being treated better as far as financially or backstage or whatever, I don't know. But as far as what his worth is to the company, I don't see it being any better. I don't see it being any better at all. So sometimes the grass isn't always greener, I suppose, Todd. Andrade, I wouldn't think, would have thought that when he signed, it was going to be really just a no big deal thing. I think he thought, this is going to launch me into being one of the top 4 or 5 people in this whole federation, and that simply didn't happen.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, first he and Charlotte unfollowed each other on Twitter just to let cooler heads prevail, you know, like any other relationship. Taking a little break from each other.
Right. Well, now in the chat room, Derek's saying, you know, I think Jeff Hardy, it would be the worst place for him to be is in the Indies because, you know, if he's the main attraction in the Indies and he shows up that way, you got a problem. Yeah, listen, no doubt. But the Indies are the people who will take the chance. That's what I'm saying. If you're an indie promoter and you got Jeff Hardy on the card, you're guaranteed a certain amount more seats sold. AEW doesn't have to worry about seats sold. WWE doesn't have to worry about seats sold. Impact doesn't have to worry about, you know, that type of stuff. So they'd be less likely to take a chance. If I was an independent promoter right now and I heard Jeff Hardy's on the market and you could potentially get him for your show, I might be willing to take a chance. Because I know that that name will draw a certain amount of people, especially even with this controversy. People are going to show up just to see, oh, man, is he going to come to the ring stoned? It's the reason people slow down at traffic accidents, right, and say, oh, what's going on? So, yeah, I understand your point that he could really ruin the indie show. But by the same token, the indie promoters are the people who are willing to take that chance. The promoters that are in bigger companies, they don't need a Jeff Hardy to sell their tickets or their pay-per-views or their whatever. They don't need them. Now, maybe Jeff Hardy would be better in a company that taped all their shows ahead of time. That way, you know, if he could come and do, I don't know, 2 or 3 matches and that's going to last him for the whole month, maybe more, maybe 2 months, then I guess he's free to do what he wants. So I think NWA is doing that. So, I mean, maybe they'd be willing to take a chance. But, people shy away from that. People shy away from it. Even the indies will shy away a little bit because if I were an indie promoter, my first thought would be if he shows up here and he's high or he's drunk. I can't let him in the ring with somebody. What happens if that guy gets hurt? What happens if that guy comes up to me and says, hey, man, Hardy's stoned. I'm not getting in the ring with him tonight. Then what? So even the indies will think twice. But I think some of the indies will maybe take a chance if that's the direction he wants to go. Now, Jeff Hardy probably doesn't need money. Jeff Hardy could spend the rest of his career just signing autographs. That would be good enough. Not like he's 25. So we'll see where this goes. I don't think you've seen the last of Jeff Hardy in the ring, though. I think somebody will take the chance on him. And you know what will happen? He'll go underground for 5 months, and then he'll say, I have become clean and sober again. I've straightened my life out, which is what he said before, a million times before. And someone will invariably say, this time he's telling the truth. What are you going to do? Now, in the indies, you know, Derek's saying, well, they'll demand their money back. Well, no, they won't, because a lot of these tickets say card subject to change. So you can't do that in a concert. You go to see that band. The card is not subject to change. The band is there. That's who you bought a ticket to see. And if they can't perform, then, yeah, you got trouble. But let's say there was 12 bands performing and one of them couldn't. If you put on a ticket, card is subject to change or the lineup subject to change, you're pretty well screwed. Now, the reason that people got their money back concert, like I said, was they were the guys playing. They were the band that was playing. I don't know if it works well in wrestling. I don't know if you could demand your money back. I think if you demanded it, people would probably give it to you simply because they don't want any hassles, but I don't think that many wrestling fans would do it. I really don't, especially if he showed up drunk and couldn't wrestle, then I guess I would make up a lie. And I would just go out there and say, Jeff Hardy's hurt, can't wrestle, but he's still going to sign autographs. He's still going to do a meet and greet, and you still get to see him. So whatever, you know, do whatever you got to do, right, in the spur of the moment, because he's the one who screwed you, and then you just never hire him again. But I don't think you've seen the last of him in the ring. I really don't. We'll see, though. Now, Nia Jax, you might have seen the last of in the ring. Nia Jax she's changed her name to her real name, and she's basically laughing at fans saying, well, maybe you could come back and you could join Roman Reigns' stable or whatever. She literally said, no chance in hell. No chance in hell of that happening. Now, I heard that her and Roman Reigns had a falling out over her wanting to use a table in a pay-per-view match, and Roman Reigns had a spot later in the match card that he was going to use a table, and he nixed her spot, and she was angry about it. So there may be some hard feelings there, I don't know. But she doesn't seem to have any interest in professional wrestling at this point. And I guess her issues, which are mental issues, I guess, have really reared up, Mike, and if she does have those issues, she's probably just better off not.
Right. I think she's better off. And plus, you know, we know where the whole thing with Roman Reigns is going, and it's muddled right now, but it's probably going to end up being, you know, Naomi joining Roman Reigns and them. So it probably wasn't going to happen for her with Roman Reigns anyway. Throw out the problem with the use of the table and all that stuff. Throw that out. Just wasn't going to happen. And look, we know what she's done, and we know that she's had her problems with hurting people, unsafe, but people still liked her and all that stuff, which didn't make any sense, was illogical. You know, I mean, we know what she did with Becky Lynch and all that stuff. So yeah, and she's not likely to be there. And to tell you the truth, I think they moved on. I think the WWE has pretty much moved on from her, because I think what they're going to do is going to try and replace her with Doudrop or Viper Niven, Piper Niven, whatever they're going to call her, because they're basically the same person, except Piper's more competent as a professional wrestler.
Yeah, definitely. As far as some of these other contracts, we know that Johnny Gargano, there had been some speculation, because if you watch the NXT War Games thing and the subsequent show afterwards, it was almost looking like they were setting Johnny Gargano up for a feud. He was attacked during a speech, and you're saying to yourself, that's a really weird thing to have happen if this guy's leaving the Federation. Usually they don't have you go out like that. So there's some speculation that Gargano had in fact signed a contract and he was just going to take some extended time off because his wife's having a baby and he wanted some time with her, and that he was going to come back. Apparently not true. His contract has expired. He is clearly now a free agent. He could show up anytime he wants on any show he wants. He has no 90-day no compete. He has nothing. So literally tonight he could be on a show if he wants to be. So I don't think you're going to see Johnny Gargano anytime soon in NXT or WWE. I have heard they left on extraordinarily good terms, however. I have heard that Johnny Gargano wanted to stress that there was no animosity in any one of the business negotiations or contract negotiations or anything, and the door is always open. So that's what I hear. Now, Kyle O'Reilly, I don't know. I know his contract is either up or up very rapidly. It seems the same with him. He has posted some things saying this isn't goodbye. Just see you later. And I don't know. I don't know whether you're going to see Kyle O'Reilly back. My assumption is neither one of those guys are any longer associated with the WWE brand. That's my assumption. Now, will they show up and reform their little clique in AEW? Maybe. But, I mean, Adam Cole is already sort of involved. So I don't know. I do know this ushers out two guys that the NXT, I guess you would call regulars or strong points in NXT. So clearly NXT is now moving in the direction that they said they were going to move, and that is they are getting rid of the people who are the mainstays and for the most part. And they are running with a whole new crowd of people. Whether it's going to be successful or not, I do not know. My assumption is you'd want to keep a few of those guys. My assumption is you'd want to have a couple of names that the fans not only recognize, but come to understand are mainstays to that particular federation. And it don't look like they're that interested in it, Todd. It looks like, you know, it's all going to be new blood pretty soon.
I'm absolutely right there. Like you said, they should keep some of the guys who have the name recognition on NXT, like the Tommaso Ciampa, Pete Dunne, guys like that, to keep the brand going and build up some younger talent too.
Yeah, that would be ideal if you could do it. Mike, they don't seem to really be concentrating on that, though. They seem to be more interested in just new blood completely.
Right, and that's the thing. And it doesn't bode well for Roderick Strong either. He's what, 39 years old, or 40 years old, and he's a smaller guy, and you know, I'm just waiting for them. Even though Strong did say he wants to be a trainer, which, you know, I could see that with him, but do they want him now? That's the problem. Do they want him?
I don't know. I mean, at some point, Tony Khan and the powers that be have to say, how many people can we use to their maximum potential? Let's look at it as a kid. Better yet, because we don't have a lot of young kids listening to this show. Look at it as you're a gamer, okay? And you go out and you buy 75 games. And you only have a few hours a week to play games. How many of those games are going to sit unplayed? How many of those games are you really going to get all of the potential out of that game? As opposed to if you just had four or five games and you worked them to death until you'd gotten everything that the developers had put into that game out of it and then went out and bought another one. Well, Tony Khan's like the kid who just bought 75 games. You're not going to get to use every single one of them. You only have a certain amount of time. And then those guys are going to feel like, well, I'm not really getting what I thought I was going to get here. We know Brian Cage is already unhappy. It's only going to be a very short period of time, in my opinion, until Andretti's unhappy. I think we're seeing a little bit of change, really, even in Malachi Black, because I think he realizes, God, you gave me that push for a little while, and now my character's kind of changing, and I'm in a group of people, which I shouldn't be, because I should be an isolated loner, and I'm not really doing a ton of stuff, and I you know, there's going to be people who are unhappy, because they're not being used to their potential, because they can't be. You got too many people, and now you got to put in more. Every guy in that locker room is saying, when am I going to get more airtime, except for CM Punk and a few other people? When am I going to get a little more airtime? And then you say, oh, by the way, we're also hiring Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong and this, and you're like, well, forget it. I'm here begging for more airtime. I'll be lucky if I get any. And that's when the seeds of dissent start getting sowed a little bit, Mike, and you could see some problems.
It really does. Now, granted, if they end up bringing over, Roderick Strong and what's his name as well, then it'd be. I know Adam Cole is doing this super elite thing with the Young Bucks, and but it'd be very easy to split him off from those guys and put that group back together, or basically maybe even have that as a mini group inside of the super elite, you know. But I'm just spitballing here, you know.
Look, it's possible. Anything's possible. But this is why AEW has so many factions. People have been asking me, do you think they have too many factions? Well, this is why they have them. Because, oh, well, you get to be on TV. You're walking out with your faction. Yeah, but you're not doing anything. When's the last time Jake Hager really did much? How many matches does he have? Everyone's a big deal. You signed him. Where is he? So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this AEW thing. I think they need to stop signing, truthfully. You know, you want to sign a few people a year from this point forward, that's fine. And maybe let a couple people go you're not using. But if you just keep piling it on and piling it on and piling it on, eventually it's going to lead to some people saying there's not a snowball's chance in hell of me getting a fair deal here. I'm never going to be on TV. If I am going to be on TV, I'm going to be counting the ring lights or in a two-minute match or something, and I'm done. I'm not going to do this. I could get a better, fairer shake somewhere else. Because I got news. If I'm going to be a jabroni anyway and be counting the ring lights every week, I might as well do it for WWE, because at least I'm going to be a more famous one. You know, at least my autograph signings are going to be higher. My visibility rate's going to be higher. That kind of thing. My deals with getting action figure money. I couldn't believe. Greg Valentine had done an interview recently, and he said, when my action figure came out, he checked for $100,000. And he said, I didn't have any idea it would be that high. And I don't know if it's still that high with all the competition and everything. But he said, you get a sizable amount of money when you're in a video game or when your action figure gets licensed or something. You get a sizable amount of money. I don't know if that's the case with AEW. I doubt it. So, again, you know, you could say, oh, well, Sami Zayn's got to be miserably unhappy. All he does is lose and maybe be made to look like a fool. Yeah, but when that sweet video game money and that action figure money comes in, you know, what's going to happen? He goes over to AEW and he still loses just as much and doesn't get that, right? So it's a weird business. And I know there are some people in AEW right now who are thinking to themselves, this wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to be a big signing. I thought I was going to be a top, big fish in a small pond. Instead, I'm ending up being an even smaller fish in a gigantic pond. And even though maybe Tony Khan is more friendly and nicer to work with and more complacent than Vince McMahon, your profile and your public persona is less. I don't care what anybody says it is. So we'll just have to wait and see, Todd. But I know there's got to be some AEW guys right now who are hoping they don't sign anybody else.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. With the AEW roster, we said it a while back, it's too many people on that roster. Too many people. It's too crowded. Maybe people should go to Impact Wrestling or NWA whatnot, or New Japan has like smaller roster of guys.
Yeah, I mean, there's options. There's options for people now. We'll see. I just know that Tony Khan is one of those people who seems to want to collect wrestlers, like video game junkies want to collect video games. I know people who are video gameaholics, and I'll go to their house, and they still have their game still shrink-wrapped sealed. Well, how long ago did you buy that? It's 5-6 months ago. I'll get around to it. I'm playing this game currently. Okay. Well, then you could have waited 5 or 6 months to buy the game used, and it would have been $15 instead of $65. But that's the way they are. Tony Khan reminds me of that guy. We'll have to wait and see if Tony Khan wants any of these people. If he does, they're going to be there, believe me. They're going to be there. Now, Chris Jericho apparently was hospitalized while he was on tour with Fozzy. They're saying it is not COVID-related, and it's a very treatable illness. And it must be, because he's still tweeting, and he's still acting like he's perfectly fine. And I think he's out of the hospital now, so I don't know what exactly the situation was. But he did cancel a couple of concerts, and I think there's still a couple that are in doubt. But for the most part, I guess he's okay. But they wanted to stress, I guess, that it was not COVID-related, Mike, so that people didn't panic.
Right. And look, I don't know if they're thinking this way yet, but at some point they're going to cycle him. I don't want to say cycle him down, but make his role a little bit less. I know what they want to do with him. I know what they're doing with him. With him commentating and all that stuff, doing that. But and what they were doing with him. And look, it doesn't help that Jim Ross is kind of down as well on the commentary team,
Right.
You can't lose somebody that's been around, that's that professional for any length of time. Now, granted, they're talking about, again, this is another guy, Jim Ross, that they're with the cancer and stuff that they're talking about. He'll probably be back, maybe, but they know that Jericho probably will be back, so we'll have to see about that. And as far as him collecting talent, collecting things, on the male side, yeah, he has too much on the male side, does Tony Khan, but they could stand with another maybe one or two women on the female side, wrestlers on the female side, but that's about it. Just maybe two is the maximum that could survive on the female side.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they could, because again, they don't do. Here's another thing. If you're going to have a show where there's 5 or 4 men's matches and 1 woman's match, obviously you need 4 times more men than women, right? I mean, that's just the formula. If it's a 4-to-1 ratio as far as the matches are concerned, then it's got to be a 4-to-1 ratio pretty much as the talent is concerned. But they could use a couple. Because they're not even utilizing what they got now. See, again, Tony Khan is the video game collector, keeps it in the shrink wrap and says, I got it, though. I'll play it eventually. I mean, you have some really, really, really talented women in that AEW division, and to be perfectly honest with you, I don't even think Britt Baker's our top person. Now, she may be the top person as far as being able to use that mic and get her character over, but you have some people that could really light it up in that ring, and you're not really utilizing them as much as you should. This is a lot, I hear this a lot from AEW fans, is the one thing I'm a little disappointed about is they said the women's division would be equal to the men's division, and that's simply not true. It's never going to be true, folks. It's never going to be true. The WWE actually does more with the women's division than AEW. And I'm not even counting NXT. I'm just saying WWE. This week's Raw, the feature match was a women's match. They don't do that much on AEW, and they have kind of fibbed to their fan base. But what they've quickly realized, and I'm sorry to tell you it's true, and it's not being misogynistic, is women do not draw like the men do. Yes, of course there are exceptions. Of course there are exceptions. If Apollo Crews is going to fight, you know, Reginald as a, in a 24/7 title match, and Becky Lynch is going to fight Charlotte Flair, well, then people are showing up to see Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair. Not showing up for Reginald and Apollo Crews. But I'm sorry to tell you that if you had Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair in one spot and Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns in another, guess which one is outselling? That's just the way it is. Same way with women's basketball. It's the same way with women's tennis. It's the same way with women's baseball. It's the same way with all the women's sports. They don't draw as much as the male sports. So the idea that you're going to say we're going to do three matches male, three matches female, the main events are going to be equal, everything's going to be equal, you can't do it that way unless you want to run yourself out of business. Now, there are people who say, well, they have all female federations. Yes, they do. But then that plays to a niche audience of people who want to see female wrestlers. That's your niche audience. It's not going to go over 1.5 million, I'll tell you that right now. And that's just being honest. That's not being prejudicial in any way. That's just being honest. Now, speaking of ratings, the WWE this week had a pretty dismal Raw rating. And I think it was 1.3 or 1.4. And they were very concerned because of the Monday Night Football and some other things that they were going to. As a matter of fact, there were some rumblings that they really honestly thought that this week's AEW show might beat them, might actually beat them. Didn't come close. Right back to the 800,000 plus. And AEW, whether they want to admit it or their fans want to admit it or whatever, AEW has a problem. And the problem is your fan base is not growing. It's like you've reached that pinnacle. And you just can't get over the hill. You've signed CM Punk. You've signed Bryan Danielson. You have went out of your way to do all of these moves that you say the fans want. And you still can't get above that 800,000 for the most part. To 900,000. This is a problem that Tony Khan needs to address. And he can't address it by saying, but in the demographic of 18 to 19 and a half year olds who wear Rock t-shirts on a regular basis and eat tacos, we are number one. You can't break it down that much. You're doing 800 and something. WWE's doing a million disaster. A 1.3 million for the WWE is a disaster. That's 500,000 more. And I don't want to hear the networks reach more people. I don't know who told you that. That's fake news. USA and TBS, virtually identical. Virtually identical. So you got a problem. And you've got to ask yourself, well, why is that? Well, I have a theory. I may be wrong. It's just a theory, but here's my theory. My theory is your mouth has written a check your ass can't cash. You decided when you were doing okay, you were going to badmouth the WWE, badmouth people who like the WWE, badmouth that whole entire genre of wrestling and everything else, and some people like it. And some people took offense to it and said, okay, well, if that's your opinion, take your federation and shove it where the sun don't shine. You did that, but you did. So I think Tony Khan, more than anybody else, is personally responsible for not getting over this hump, because I think he's isolated some of his potential fan base by running his mouth and talking trash about the WWE when he really shouldn't have done it, Mike.
Right, and think about this. If he kept quiet, he might very well be at 1-5. You know? Think about it. He's at between 800 and 950,000, right, on a consistent basis. 800,000 on the low end, 950,000 on the high end, right? If he keeps his mouth quiet, he could be, like I said, up about, you know, 1.5. That's not out of the question, if he kept his mouth quiet. That's why I keep saying, you know, people like Cody Rhodes, Dustin Rhodes, the two of the Four Horsemen, Jake Roberts, they need to get a hold, even Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone, you know, they need to get a hold of him and say, I know you're paying our check, but keep your mouth shut, you know?
And then yeah, maybe this is where MJF is kind of smart, because MJF, when he's asking about this kind of stuff, says, I grew up a WWE fan. Who knows? Maybe that's where I'm heading. Now, he does that to be the bad guy and aggravate fans, but at the same time, he's not bad-mouthing them. So guess what happens? AEW comes to Long Island, and MJF gets a hero's reception, and CM Punk gets booed out of the building. Why does CM Punk get booed out of the building? Well, yes, MJF's a hometown boy. That helps. But CM Punk also gets booed out of the building because CM Punk has done nothing but run his mouth about how horrible the WWE is and how horrible wrestling is and how wrestling fans are dumb for even watching it. And then he comes crawling back to the sport and expects a hero's welcome. But some people in New York didn't forget. Meanwhile, MJF had played the heel but has said, well, I don't see anything wrong with the WWE. I was a WWE fan. Hell, I may end up there. Let's see what my contract comes up. I may just jump if they don't offer me enough money. And that's all rhetoric and talk. I get it. But at the same time, the fans respect that and say he's not talking down to this company. And I think that when he hit New York, which is a stronghold for WWE. And again, people say, well, the AEW seem to have no problem selling out the building. WWE didn't do it. Yeah, because WWE runs shows there every single month. There's shows in that area every month. AEW is coming in and it's a special event. So you don't know when you're going to see him again. So people were like, well, I'll go to the AEW one because I can always catch the WWE. That's the equivalent of saying, I'm going to watch this TV show because it's a special and it's only on once, and this other TV show is being replayed 7 times. So don't get your panties in a bunch about that and say, oh, AEW sold out the building and WWE didn't. Yeah, well, AEW couldn't sell out Chicago when they ran again, even with CM Punk. So that's not the reason, folks. What has to happen for AEW right now to get over that hump is that they have to have Tony Khan close his mouth, or better yet, just come out and say, a lot of this was done in character. I have ultimate respect for WWE and their fans. We offer a different product, but that doesn't mean that the product they put on isn't great, too. You know, we hope everybody watches both, because that would be great for wrestling, and that would be great for us. We fully understand that WWE's drawn 2 million people to their show. We dream of doing that. We're not going to hit you with demographics saying people who have wear glasses and have Tuesdays off from work are more likely to watch our show. We're not doing that. We know they're drawing 2 million and we're drawing 800,000. We get it. And now we want to try to coerce some of you guys to watch our show too. We don't want you to stop watching WWE. We don't want you to stop loving WWE. we want you to give us a chance and see if maybe you like our product as well. And if you do, we'd love to have you as our fans. That's it. You know, when you go to these shows, it shouldn't be us against them. I go to rock concerts and things, and I listen to the opening band, and the opening band always says, okay, folks, you know, in just a short period of time, the amazing whoever's the feature act, they're going to be out here, man. Are you ready for them? If they're ready for you, they're gonna rock you tonight. They put the guy over. They don't say, we should have been the opening. We should have been the feature band. Those guys backstage are going to come out here and suck. Because you know why they don't do that? Because then half that crowd who's there to see that feature band is going to boo you off the stage. That's why. So the opening band always says, hey, you know, thanks for coming. And in a short period of time, the guys you came to see are going to be out here, and they're going to be great. And you say, oh, those guys are nice guys, too. They're as fans, too. We'll listen to a couple more of their songs. That's what you do. But that's not what AEW is doing. AEW is the guys who were saying, we should have been the feature, and they suck. And their fan base is going, well, who the fuck do you think you are? Don't tell me what sucks. Who are you to tell me what sucks? And they resent it. I've talked to WWE fans who said I probably would watch AEW, but after they've badmouthed the WWE so much, and after they've said, and then their fans get on the internet and say, yeah, you're a WWE mark, you're a pussy, you're not a wrestling fan, and then people just say, you know what, screw you. Go watch your wrestling that you like, and I'll watch the wrestling I like. And then it becomes us against them, and that's dumb. And Tony Khan was the guy who promoted that, when he could have said, no, that's not the way it is. So I blame him, Todd, for a lot of this. And until that changes, I don't know if he's going to get over the hump. Well, who else can he sign? He signed the biggest free agent in the world in CM Punk, and it gave him a momentary boost, and now they're right back to where they started.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about Tony Khan and everything. For one thing, like you said, he's got to keep his mouth shut and everything. Like you said, I remember back in the Monday Night Wars, Eric Bischoff did it the right way. He was bad-mouthing the WWE because he was winning in ratings the right way. And Tony Khan is saying it in the wrong way and losing in ratings.
And what happened? Dude, WCW during that, when he started giving away the endings and saying, if you're watching that lousy WWE, guess what happened? They tanked. See, fans will decide for themselves. If the WWE is putting on a lousy product, you don't kick a dog when they're down, as they say. If you really feel the WWE is putting on a lousy product, in private you might say, oh, man, their product is so bad. We should be able to take their audience away. In public, you say, we're working very hard to put on our best show. We can't really worry about what the competition does. They're legendary as far as their wrestling is concerned. Their fan base is huge, and rightfully so. And we're hoping that one day we can reach that goal. That's what you say in public, Mike, so that you don't isolate fans.
And think about it this way. Yeah, I've said this before. In politics, you know, when your opponent is crashing and burning, you don't try to help them out. In fact, that's the worst thing you can do. The best thing you can do is maybe hand them an anvil, you know, make them fall faster, you know.
Right.
And that's basically what Tony Khan is trying to do. Everybody knows, and we've chronicled it here, how piss poor as of the last, let's say, 2 years or a year and a half, the WWE has been. They've been inconsistent, poor storylines. They start stuff and don't complete it, you know, just piss poor, you know, firing
yep.
people, hiring people, hiring people, firing people, you know, weeks later, quitting things that they shouldn't quit, starting things that they shouldn't start. Just everything we chronicled here on the show. And Tony Khan knows that, and still he opened his mouth.
He should have just kept his mouth shut and just let the WWE just muddle along and have us do the job, you know. I mean, you know, have the talk shows do the job, you know, that we've been doing lately, you know, by pointing out the deficiencies in the WWF. And just, Tony Khan, just let your product speak for itself and constantly get more and more and more ratings, you know, go up 100, go up 25,000, 50,000, 60,000 at a shot, you know.
That would be the ideal thing, but the two things he had to do is, number one, he should have told everybody coming in, this is not your personal platform to air your grievances about Vince McMahon and company. So when you get into my ring, unfairly, I don't want to have you dress up as Vince McMahon and do horseshit things. I don't want to have any of that. We're above that. We're not doing that. If that's your only reason for signing with me, so you can get in the ring and have a pissing contest about who got treated worse from WWE, I don't need you. That would have been number one. Number two, if you let the WWE be the bad guys. In other words, when the WWE baited you by saying they're no competition, and you said, oh, yeah, well, we're going to do the demographics and this and that, you look like, you look like bitches, to be honest. What you should have done was to say, you're right, we're not. What federation would be? We've just started. We've literally just started, and we're up against a company that for 50 years has went virtually unchallenged by most. And we don't even want to be competition. We just want to be who we are. And we hope that the fans like us for that reason. And whatever our fan base turns out to be, we certainly appreciate it, and we certainly are going to try to give you the best product. As far as us trying to be in direct competition with WWE, that's laughable. And I think, Mike, they would have done much better doing it that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's all the fact that he just can't keep his mouth shut. I mean, think about it. Think about it. You look at the other two companies. You know, you look at NWA. For the most part, Billy Corgan has kept his mouth shut. Yeah, he's had big announcements, but and including the thing about the all women's pay per view. But you can excuse him talking for that because that's a big deal. You know, that was a big deal. And so does the people at Impact. They pretty much kept their mouth shut, right?
Yep. Yes.
You know, and said very little to nothing. And they're improving. You know, now, granted, I'd like to see Impact get on bigger station, you know, but that's just me. Not Impact, but NWA, you know, maybe grow a little bit more, maybe grow a little bit faster, but that's just me. That's how I feel about it. But
well, I think NWA could do that. I think you're right in the beginning when you said Impact. Impact could be the beneficiary of this because in this little war with WWE and AEW, everybody's just ignoring Impact, and Impact's putting on a good product. And they're going to continue to put on a good product. And if they sign a couple of more people, Todd, you know, these guys could backdoor it right into being back in one of the top spots.
I think you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it reminds me back in the day you had the war between the two major wrestling companies, WWE at the time with the WWF and WCW. And you also had the smaller guys like back then, like ECW, the smaller promotions.
Yeah, look, we'll see what ends up happening with this whole entire thing. AEW needs to get over that hurdle. When AEW is on a regular basis doing at least the 1 million, then okay, then you're on your way. But what I wanted to see from AEW, and I said it from the very beginning, when they were drawing 600,000 and 700,000, as I said, I want to see him go to 725, 750, 775, 800. And I want to keep it going until they are reasonably competitive with WWE. It seems like you've hit that threshold and you can't get past it. Once in a while, you'll make a big signing, and for 2 weeks, you get past it, and then it falls right back down. And CM Punk, everyone said that's the missing piece of the puzzle. If you sign CM Punk, you're going to be over a million every week there on out. Didn't happen. And you signed Daniel Bryan on top of it. Didn't happen. Now, if he was ever to have Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk over there or whatever, or MJF versus CM Punk is going to draw big, you're going to get, if they do that on a TV show and not a pay-per-view, they're going to draw really big ratings. But are they going to do it next week? I just want people to understand that if the WWE was drawing 800,000 people or 900,000 people Monday night or on Friday night, Mike, they would be saying the WWE is ready to, you know, jump off the ledge.
Well, if they were doing that on Friday night, then frankly, Fox would stick them on, you know, FS1, you know?
They were doing that on Friday night, Mike. Fox executives would push them off the ledge. There's no question about it. Anyway, what are we going to see tonight on SmackDown? Well, we will see. I don't know if we're going to see another Brock Lesnar appearance. I don't know. I don't know where this is going. We're going to see, obviously, the finals of the Bronament or whatever they want to call it. And we'll see. We'll see what SmackDown has to offer, and we will be back here on Sunday to talk about it. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.